Right, morning. My name's Jackie, if there's anyone here who doesn't already know. It's lovely to have you with us. As I was thinking about what to speak on today, I was reminded of something that I read last Easter. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the busyness of Easter, with all the services, which don't get me wrong, I absolutely love, and the children are off school, well, sometimes it's a bit like at Christmas. The message can get lost. We go to the services and we're reminded, and then we get home and we get caught up in the cooking and entertaining, and Jesus and the message of the cross just get slipped onto the back burner. Now, I found what I had read last Easter challenging and encouraging, so I thought it'd be good to revisit it before we get into Easter proper, so to speak. And then maybe something will actually sink in and impact our lives. Let me pray. Lord, will you speak to us? Take the words you've given me and bless us by your Spirit. Amen. We're going to read from Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Such a powerful and evocative passage, isn't it? The servant who suffered to take our punishment on the cross. It's obviously a prophecy of the Messiah, Jesus. And we know from the Gospels what actually happened, and that prophecy was fulfilled. I love the first line, "To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm?" In the contemporary English version, it says, "Who has seen the mighty power of the Lord in action?" The passage goes on to describe the servant who people rejected and despised and allowed to suffer. A picture of a downtrodden nobody. This, Isaiah says, is the power of the Lord in action. How can that be? Because when the servant was punished, when he hung on the cross, he was taking the punishment we deserved. And it wasn't understood, and it's still not understood today by the man on the street. It's nonsense, doesn't make sense. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And that came up in that video, didn't it? The chap saying that it was nonsense to him, he didn't understand, because he hadn't been saved. It was foolishness. What looked like defeat was actually victory. Christ was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us whole. We are healed. Hallelujah. The mystery is hidden from those who don't believe. But when you believe that Christ died for you, it is the power of God. And we celebrate it every time we take communion. The bread representing Christ's body broken for us. The perfect lamb, the once for all sacrifice that was needed to pay the price and make us acceptable before Yahweh, the great I am. And the wine representing Christ's shed blood, the new covenant between us and God, that by believing his blood was shed for us, we are reconciled, forgiven and restored, as it says in Colossians 1:20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And we do nothing to deserve this. It's a free and tremendous gift. We just receive with deep and humble gratitude. Stuart Townend and Keith Getty wrote a beautiful song. Let me read the last verse and chorus. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This, the power of the cross, Son of God slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. Amazing love, the power of the cross. But now let me come to what I read last Easter. And it takes a look from a very slightly different angle. And I think it just grows our picture of what Christ has done for us. And I hope, as I share this, that you'll agree. In his book, The Things He Carried, Stephen Cotterill writes, "He carried our sorrows. Nothing was too small for him. All the fragments were gathered up, and nothing was too large or heavy. He carried the tiny casual disappointments, the lost hopes and shattered dreams that reverberate through a lifetime. And he carried the huge, ravaging hurts where tragedy bites and the tectonic plates of a lifetime shift." Let me read that again. He carried our sorrows. Nothing was too small for him. All the fragments were gathered up, and nothing was too large or heavy. He carried the tiny casual disappointments, the lost hopes and shattered dreams that reverberate through a lifetime. And he carried the huge, ravaging hurts where tragedy bites and the tectonic plates of a lifetime shift. Jesus carried our weaknesses and our sins on the cross, and he also bore our sorrows. The sadnesses, the disappointments, the loneliness, the times we feel let down, the times we struggle. He knows and he understands. He knows when our lives have been turned upside down by pain or tragedy. Jesus experienced every agony, fear, loneliness, rejection. Even his closest friends deserted him in his hour of need. He was misunderstood. He knows, really knows, how we feel. He endured all that for the hope, the joy that was set before him. Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hope in his Father's love and a future with him. We have that same hope. Let me quote from the reading notes that I had last Easter. Jesus' compassion for us moved him to shoulder our sorrows. We can learn to bring them to him and lay them at the cross. And I want to give us an opportunity to do that now. Quietly shut your eyes and think of the sorrows you want to bring to the cross. It doesn't matter how big or small, how seemingly insignificant or how tragic. And if you want to, I'd like to offer you the opportunity to come up the front and pick up a pebble from this bucket. And in the symbol of laying your sorrows at the cross, to just let that pebble be your symbol of your sorrows, and you can just lay them at the foot of the cross in this basket. And know that he takes the burden, and thank him. So if you want to, you're welcome at this point to come up and do that. Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you that you understand everything about us. You understand how we feel. You understand how we're made, and you know all that's gone on in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you take this burden from us, that we can leave these sorrows at the foot of your cross. If there's anyone who didn't feel they wanted to come up the front just then, but want to later, these will still be here. Let me quote again from the notes I had. The cross looked like a tragic ending, but in fact was a triumphant beginning, enabling us to live fruitfully. The cross seemed to defeat the purposes of God, but in fact it defeated the power of death. The fact that Jesus carried our sorrows means that we don't have to let those sorrows steal our peace, joy, and abundant life in him. There is a strange beauty here. The cross speaks of a sacrifice whispering down the ages into the heart of humanity. Nails didn't hold our Saviour there. Love did. And that's its beauty. A beauty that never fades. It's just such a lovely picture, isn't it? That Jesus would have hung on that cross even if man hadn't nailed him on it. Because he loves us so, so much. And he doesn't want us to have our lives ruined by sorrows. We can bring them to him, and the devil doesn't get the chance to steal our peace and joy and abundant life in him, because that's what Jesus wants for us, peace and joy and an abundant life. And I kind of think this isn't something that is just a one-off. And it's lovely that we've been able to symbolize bringing our sorrows like that now. But tomorrow something else might happen. And we might have more sorrow. Or something else might upset us and destroy our peace. And we take it to him and we lay it at the cross. And we know that he has taken that burden. And we can have peace and joy and abundant life. Nails didn't hold our Saviour there, love did. And that's its beauty, a beauty that never fails, never fades. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, we do thank you for the cross. We thank you that Jesus was willing to do what you asked of him. And we know it was tough because we read of what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he did, Lord, struggle with that task you'd given him to do. But in obedience to you, he went ahead, knowing what was going to happen to him. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were beaten and scorned and then nailed to that cross. And that you did indeed take away our sins and make it possible for us to come back and be forgiven and have a right relationship with God. But we thank you too that you took our sorrows. And I pray that through this week we will be aware of that. That we will know you take our burdens, that you understand really understand all that we go through. So we thank you and praise you. And I speak a blessing over us all now in the name of Jesus, that we may live in peace and joy and abundant life this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.